a brand new series and campaign entitled Epic. And when we talk about epic, it simply means beyond the ordinary. And I believe that the life that God has promised you, that he has promised us, is beyond the ordinary. It's beyond the mundane. It's beyond the average life. Every Christian ought to live an epic life. It's the life that we all long to live, but we dare to enter into. It's the life that most people don't even understand. And yet we started off this first part of the series, and this third week, the first part, talking about your epic story. The reality is God has given all of us a story. We read about it in Psalms 139, spent the first 2 weeks talking about it. David, the psalmist, wrote it this way in Psalms 139, verse 16, the Living Bible translation. He says to God, "You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book." It's an epic story. And yet the reality is some of us don't realize, because of maybe the misfortunes, maybe the pain, maybe because of the bad decisions or the environment we grew up in, that God has absolute control over your life. When we read what the psalmist says in other passages of scripture as well, that you are not an afterthought of God. No matter what parents may say and people have said in the past and even to this day, that you have always been on God's mind, even before you were conceived in your mother's womb. The scripture says again in Psalms 139 that God knew you when he formed you in the darkest places. So understand that if God created you, God has plans and God has a purpose for your life. Last week we talked about sometimes we feel like maybe I'm not a part of God's creative plans and his creative design. It's because there's things that are missing in my life. Or I don't feel significant. I don't have anything to contribute to society. And especially we talk about Christians that might impact or make an impression on others around me. Listen, God has a way of using just a few fish and loaves of bread. Amen? To feed thousands. The question is, are you willing to bring it to him, to offer it to him, to give thanks for what Christ gives thanks for? For you every single day and because of you. And so therefore, if you understood and saw yourself the way Christ saw you, maybe you too would realize the potential that you have in Christ Jesus. And yet we turn to this third portion of your epic story, and we look at the writing of the Apostle Paul to the Church of Corinth in his second letter, which is believed to actually be his third letter, and there's a letter that is missing. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, the Apostle Paul states a truth that we all must know and recognize. Life can be painful. Have I got a witness? In all of our divine serendipities about the greatness of God and all of our nuances and in all of our graduations and that we might make about the beauty and the love of God, the supremacy of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, in all of that, and all the daunting reality is this, that life can be painful. As we examine our life story, we reflect on various chapters of our life. And I believe that we can all concur and conclude that there is no doubt at least one, if not several chapters in our lives that is filled with pain. Have I got a witness? So today I want to talk about a chapter called pain. And what do we do with that pain? How do we look at that pain? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes and says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation," Paul says, "which is effective for enduring the same suffering with which we suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also will you partake in the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were, listen to how painful it was, that we were burdened beyond measure, above that we were despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. When we look at this chapter, and we look at this passage rather, we understand that we all have some uncomfortable chapters in our story. A simple examination of the passage, the writer makes it clear that life is filled with pain. Listen to the verbiage as we move through here. As we read the text, I want to draw emphasis to all of the words that Paul uses to describe pain and suffering that's emphasized in this passage. Notice if you go back, he says in verse 3, our tribulation, the bottom of verse 3, and in any trouble. And look at verse 5, the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Look at verse 6, now if we are afflicted, look at the bottom of verse 6, the same sufferings which we also suffer. Then look at verse 8, burdened beyond measure. Look at verse 8 again, despaired even of life. Look at verse 9, sentence of death in ourselves. Paul paints this picture and says that pain is an inescapable reality. It would be inextricably clear that after reading these words that life hurts. Life will make you go ouch. Life is painful. Jesus himself even said, in this world, you will have trouble. Again, it is an inescapable reality. And for some of us, we think that just because we're Christians, that we can escape problems, trouble, and pain. Paul speaks not only of his own pain and not only of the pain of those first century Christians, but he also speaks of the pain that we will face and that we will have to endure, all of us. If I were to walk down these aisles today, it could scan beneath all of the God is good all the time God is good. If I could peel back the veneer of that sanctimonious smile that you're probably wearing this morning, if I could pry open the heart to your true testimony, if I could dichotomize the cause of that strong reverberation in your voice and the tears that began to flow when you sing those songs of praise, if I could only dissect the germinous wavening in your hands and the padding of your feet, if I could just uncover and expose and dissect, I would probably be able to propagate and disseminate a truth and expel something that's going on inside of you that is called pain. If you don't have it today, you had it yesterday. And if you've never experienced, keep on breathing. Because if you keep on breathing, you will experience pain. The reality is we were conceived in pain. We came out of this world in pain. We hadn't done a thing and somebody smacked us on our behind and created pain. And we will leave this world somehow or another through pain. I guarantee you that if I had to survey your book, that there would be an epitaph somewhere and it says, my life has at least one chapter of pain. The writer of this letter, the Apostle Paul, should be considered one of the most spiritual, if not the most spiritual person recorded in all the scriptures besides Jesus Christ himself. And yet we read this text and realize that just because we are spiritual, just because we are full of faith, it does not exempt us from trouble, trials, and pain. We often feel like sometimes that, and we even taught in the church that because I am spiritual, I shouldn't suffer pain. Because I am faithful, I should not have to deal with pain. Because I am prayerful, I can escape pain. Because I am righteous, because I'm a faithful servant in the body of Christ church. Because I am a tithe payer, because I live upright, because I'm a faithful follower of Christ, then I am not supposed to suffer. But what we don't realize as Christians, that the closer we are to God and the deeper our fellowship is in Him, the more we will suffer, the more pain we will experience. Paul wrote to the Philippians in his short letter encouraging them in Philippians 3 and 10 and said it this way, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. If you're going to know Christ in the power of His resurrection, there can be no resurrection, not unless there's a death. And the fellowship of His suffering being conformed to His death. That's the reason why Paul can say we're always dying about in the body. That's the reason why David can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We're all walking in the shadow of death. Can I get a witness? Sometimes we even come to that place where we say and we cry out like many others, Lord, why me? Or we will even ask the question, God, where are you in my time of trouble and when I'm going through difficulty? You wouldn't be the first to ask this question. I go back and reflect, and I don't want to do an extensive survey, but I look at Job in particular in Job 23 and all the pain and suffering that Job was going through. He was searching for God in Job 23. He says, oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I may come to His seat. Look, I go forward, but He's not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive Him. When He works on the left hand, I cannot behold Him. When He turns to the right hand, I cannot see Him. Have you ever been there saying, Lord, where are you when I need you? Life is just not painful, it's extremely painful. And Paul was keenly aware of that enormous pain. Again, in verse 8, he says, we despair. Even of life, Paul said, listen, I know I'm a soldier on the battlefield. I know I've been fighting the good fight. I'm almost finished my course. But Paul says this, no matter how strong my faith is, the pain was so great a reality, we just wanted to die. Despaired, even of life. Have you ever gotten that bad? You just wanted to escape the reality of pain. Most of us don't want to commit suicide, but we do just want to go home and be with Jesus sometimes. Amen. We may sing great spiritual songs of triumph, but there's times where we still feel defeat. I wish I had an honest witness today. We may sing songs about how I got over, but we feel like we are buried in pain. We may shout amen when the preacher preaches about God and how we are overcomers through the power of the resurrection through our circumstances. But at the same token, we feel weakened by those circumstances. We may have some uncomfortable chapters in our book called Life. Let the church say, but there's also a God of comfort who is woven between every line of our story, even our pain. Somebody say, He is the God of comfort. All comfort. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The God of all of mercy, the God of comfort, who comforts us. Look further down. To be able to comfort those who are in trouble, the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by. And then look all the way down in verse 6 and he says, or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and your salvation. And this is what Paul is saying. Paul says, yes, there is some pain, but we have a comforter in the pain. Listen to what he does not say. He does not say that God will deliver us from trouble, but he says God is there in our troubles because he is our comforter. When we examine the word comforter in the Greek, it is parakletos or paraclete, and it simply means an advocate, a comforter, or a helper. When we look at para, P-A-R-A, it means to come alongside of. The kleto or the kletos is actually means to help. And so therefore, God has sent His Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about this in John 16. And He says that the Spirit I will leave, but the Spirit will come and He will parakletos. He will comfort you. He will assist you. He will help you. As a paramedic comes alongside of an ill patient to help them. God is your helper. But notice how he helps. Paul writes to the Corinthians in his first letter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And listen what Paul says. No temptation or trial has overtaken you except as is no, as common to man. Look over your neighbor and say, what you going through? I done been through that already. Sometimes we feel like what we're going through, we're the only ones going through it. That even God doesn't know our troubles. No temptation has overtaken you except as common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, tried, persecuted, afflicted beyond what you are able, but with the trial, with the temptation, with the pain, with the affliction, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. Y'all don't hear what he said. This is what he said. God is going to allow the pain to come, and he's going to deliver you in the pain, not from it. He's going to allow it to come, but he's going to let the pain do its work to deliver you. But with the temptation, but with the trial, he will make a way of escape. Y'all didn't catch that right there. God remove this, but with the thorn, I'll take you to a level that you've never been before. Paul sought the Lord on three different occasions. Lord, remove this thorn. And he says, but the thorn is necessary. And Paul says, I found out that his grace is sufficient. I found out about his strength. In the middle of my weakness, Paul was really saying, I'm glad he didn't remove the thorn. But with the thorn, he makes an escape. The God of all comfort, who comforts us, listen, in our troubles, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Here's what I'm really trying to say. When you're lying on your bed of pain, know that God has provided a comforter for you. I'm going to say it again because I know it's early Sunday morning. When you're lying in your bed of pain, look on the bed, because God has provided a comforter for you. I wish somebody had a comforter folded up in your purse right now. I'll demonstrate this thing for you. When you're lying in your bed of pain, understand that God has provided a comforter on the bed. I'm just going to take a minute of that marinade. Y'all got that yet? When you're lying on your bed of sorrow, that's all you got to do is just reach down and pick up the comforter. When you're flat on your back in your bed of affliction, just slide down. Y'all do that at home, don't you? Into your comforter. When your life is so painful and you're sleeping on a bed of nails, just wrap yourself up in your comforter. The problem is sometimes we draw too much attention to the climate in the room and we miss the comforter on the bed. It's cold in here. Well, just grab the comforter. Sometimes you want us to change the climate when God has already provided the comforter. I wish I was in a missionary Baptist church right about now. Because no matter how cold your situation is, no matter how cold the condition might be, no matter how cold people might be even around your bedside, don't focus on how cold it is. Focus on your comforter. I know Randy and Shafiz got that, y'all. They hadn't gotten it yet. The reality is all the world is suffering. All of the world is in pain. The whole world experiences heartache. But what makes Christians different in the midst of a world of suffering is that God has called Christians, listen to this carefully, God has called us to look at our pain through the theological eyes of his sovereignty. That's something that the world cannot do. We look at all of our suffering, at all of our trials, at all of our discomforts. We look at the climate in the room through theological eyes, and those theological eyes point us to the sovereignty of God. And if we don't do that, then our story is not epic. It's just a story of suffering like everybody else's. If we don't look at our suffering through God's truth, through God's word, then our suffering is senseless and it's meaningless. But what God has called us to do, listen to me carefully, is to give dignity to our difficulties. He's called us to give purpose to our pain. He's called us to give significance to our suffering. And he's called us to give supremacy to his story that he has written about our life in every chapter that is filled with pain. Because here's a reality. Suffering makes sense only because of the sovereignty of God. I'm going to tell you, I cannot tell you how many times that has gotten me through. Suffering only makes sense when you know and understand there is a God that has absolute control. And listen, that anything that happens to us either came because God sent it or because God allowed it. But rest assured of this, it had to come through God in order to get to you. Y'all didn't catch that right there. That's why we love, and one of my favorite passages, Romans 8:28. We love what the text says, and we know that all things work together. Listen to that. For good to those who love God, to those who are the called, listen to this, according to his purpose. So if there is pain, God has a purpose attached to the pain, because the pain must come through God, who is also the comforter. Has it ever occurred to you that God has not only sent comfort, but with the pain, he is also the comforter in the pain? Christ is, the reality of our suffering is not only do we suffering, but we're suffering because it is the suffering of Christ. Okay, let me say it another way. The joy that we receive is the joy that comes from Christ. The comfort that we receive is the comfort that comes from Christ or from the Holy Spirit. Am I right about it? The peace that we receive. And so therefore, the pain that we receive is also that which comes from Christ. Just as he uses joy and he uses peace as a tool, he also uses pain as a tool in his toolbox, listen, to conform us to his image. That we not may not boast in ourselves, but that we might glorify him. God works, the text says, all things work together. Because God is the one who is the together and holds it together. And listen, because it's his suffering in us, it's all together because he's in it. Let me give you another example of that. Y'all remember the story of the three Hebrew boys? In the fiery furnace? Maybe you didn't understand when you read this in Sunday school that, first of all, it was a real furnace. Secondly, it was a real fire. Thirdly, it was real hot. Seven times hotter than it normally was. And listen, for real, they got in that fire. They got in that fiery furnace. They did not escape that furnace. But here's the for real, real deal. God was with them in, y'all get it now? He used the fire to provide comfort. Woo, it's kind of chilly down here. It's kind of warm up by the fire. God has a way of getting in our problem, in our troubles. Why? It's because it's his suffering. That's what he said in 2 Corinthians 1:3 and verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Listen to this. So our consolation also abounds through Christ. We want consolation from Christ, but we don't want the suffering of Christ. No wonder Paul wrote in his second letter again to the Corinthians in chapter 4 and said it this way, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in broken clay pots, vessels, human bodies, the human circumstances. Listen, that the excellence of the power of God may reside in God and not in us. That's the reason why you have the guarantee that no matter what you're going through, that if you trust in God, you will go through it and you will go through it just fine. That's the reason why he could say in verse 8, we're hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. Y'all know that, right? It could be a whole lot worse. We're perplexed. You ever been confused? You ever been bewildered? But he says, but we're not in despair. We're not totally lost. We're not hopeless is what he said. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. He has not forgotten us. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. If you only knew that. That you're going to make it through. And you go back and you look at every chapter of your life called pain. Every segment of your story called pain. And I want you to know this. God has always been in between every line. Every line. And he has never forsaken you. Neither has he ever forgotten you. You say, but I can't see him. I can't feel him. But you got to know that he's there. I can't see the molecules and atoms. I can't see sound waves and all the stuff that's going in the invisible world around me. But I know that it exists. And then finally, God has comforted us, guess what? So that we can bring comfort to others. So y'all thought this was all about you this morning, didn't you? See, I'm going to get my blessing. I read Facebook and the pastor said that he's preaching on the chapter called pain. I need to find out how I can overcome this pain in my life. And I'm glad that you're here. But I got news for you, my brother, sister. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. Paul said it this way in verse 3. God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. Guess what? That we... One of the reasons why he comforts us is so that we, did y'all hear that right there? He doesn't comfort us just to comfort us for the sake of comforting. He doesn't comfort me just for the sake of comforting me, but he comforts us that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with, listen to this, the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. I'm excited this morning. God comforts you so you can comfort somebody else. That's the reason why you should never, ever be ashamed of what you're going through. When somebody asks you, hey, how's your day today? You ain't got to say, oh, blessed and this, that. I forget all of that. I'm going through. But I know the comforter lives inside of me. Because the reality is you cannot comfort somebody else not unless you have gone through yourself, not unless you're going through yourself and you have a relationship and experience with the comforter. And this is what he's saying. And with the comfort that he has given you, you take the same comfort and you can, in other words, this is what he said. I'm going to comfort you so much that you're going to have an overflow of comfort. That's all you got to do is be intentional about standing next to somebody else who's going through trouble. That's all you got to do is be willing to get close to somebody else. Understand that there's a ministry in your misery. Don't think, well, I don't want nobody to know this about me. I don't want nobody to know this. Let me tell you something. There's things that I'm not proud of. And I'm not proud that I'm a divorcee. But you know how many people I've been able to help as a result of... I used to talk theoretically and theologically, but I can talk from a practical experience. Some of you have gone through bouts of cancer. You've gone through this and you've gone through that. Some of you, listen, you've been bankrupt, turned upside down. God has given you that testimony. Some of you have lost a close loved one. God has taken that person away so you can minister to somebody else who is suffering loss. You can't just come to church and be comforted. That's not worship service, that's worship selfish. I'm going to say it again. Worship, I'm coming to the worship service. So that when I worship God, I might be of service to somebody around me. But if I'm just coming to get it for me, that's called worship selfish. Did y'all get that right there? I thought that all by myself. You say, I can tell. It's alcohol, the rest of the stuff you thought about. As the old preacher said, I got to leave you now. But understand this, there's still another chapter in your life to yet be written, to yet to be experienced. This is the way Paul said it. If you're going through right now, take consolation in this. Verse 8, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Listen to this. Here it is right here. But who raises the dead. That we might trust in God and not in ourselves. That's one of the reasons why we're having the pain. That we might trust in God, not in ourselves. It's the same God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. Notice the tense. He delivered us already. It's already been written in the story, but we have yet to live the resurrection because we have not died the death. I wish I had a witness here. And Jesus delivered us when he died on that cross some 2,000 years ago. Notice what the text says. Three stages. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us too, and whom we trust that he still delivers us. He has delivered. He is delivering. And that he still, there's yet a deliverance that we have not experienced. How many folks have been delivered? Raise your hand. How many folks are being delivered? Oh, I'm going to raise two hands. And how many of you are waiting for that final deliverance? No matter what it looks like, he is the God of resurrection. And even Jesus Christ, his own son, had to face the agony and the pain. You know the story. It happened on a weekend, just like a weekend like this. And some of you all sitting here, and listen, when Thursday was over, Thanksgiving Thursday is over, you had to face Friday. But so did Jesus. Y'all remember that Friday? That Friday when he got up and he was arrested. That Friday he got up, it was a bad Friday. And he was beaten. That Friday when he was falsely accused. That Friday, the same folk who hollered Hosanna the week before are the same people who are shouting, crucify him. Y'all got some friends like that. Crucify him. That same dreadful Friday where they hung him up on a cross in between two thieves and he never committed a crime, falsely accused. Y'all understand that situation. That same Friday, it was a bad Friday, church, where they put the nails and spikes in his hand and in his feet. That Friday where they thrust a spear through his side. It was that dreadful Friday where they put those briars and mashed him down through his forehead. That Friday, you know what I'm talking about? That Friday where he hung out in the sun and finally gave up the ghost. It was that Friday where they buried him in a borrowed tomb. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That Friday where he was laid to rest in a tomb, that was that Friday. But how many know Friday is just the first day of the weekend? It's just the first day of the weekend. Thank God it's Friday. And then there was Silent Saturday. You've been there. God, where are you? What in the world is going on? I was buried on yesterday, but I don't feel anything on today. There's no word from you. I can't sense your presence, but hang on in there if you in Silent Saturday, because Sunday's on the way. On that Sunday morning, he was raised with all power. He got up out the grave. Listen, Friday might be beginning of the weekend, but Sunday is the climactic moment of the weekend. It's the highlight of the weekend. It's Sunday morning when we start off this week and we walk in the resurrection power of God. No matter what your Friday look like, it's Sunday morning. Have I got a witness? No matter what your story looks like, and no matter how comfortable it might be, understand this, you have a comforter. The Holy Spirit who lives inside every believer. And listen to this. And he's come today to comfort you. And with that same comfort, fill you to a place of overflow where you got comfort just running over the brim. And he says, get next to somebody else who's going through trouble. And listen, let them drink of that same comfort. Introduce them to the comforter. Come alongside of them and just hold their hand. And just listen, you ain't got to give advice. And let the comforter do his work. Has it ever occurred to you that God still delivers, that God still heals, that God still comforts and he gives strength? But guess what? 9 times out of 10, he does it through people. He does it through people. I guarantee the far majority of your comfort came because somebody else came alongside of you who had the comforter inside. Somebody had gone through some pain. And they shared the comforter with you. Today, understand this. There is a chapter called pain. But woven in between every line of pain, there is glory. It's the glory of God. Why don't you rest in that glory of the comforter? Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks, Lord, this Sunday morning, this weekend. Lord, as we pause and start off our week, no matter what the story might look like, no matter what, oh Father, somebody may be going through today, Lord, I realize that you really are a very present help in time of a storm, oh God. Somebody's on that boat, Lord, they're being tossed about by the raging seas. Lord, and they're saying, why me and where are you? Help them to realize, oh Father, it may not be necessarily because of anything they've done wrong, but it's because they desire fellowship with you. And Lord, you will use that same storm to take them to the deep place. You will help them to learn how to walk on water and to come to you and trust you. Lord, I thank you today, oh Father, for anyone that may be here and may not know Christ as their Savior. I pray, oh Father, that you would give them strength. God, I pray today that, Lord, you would comfort them. Lord, I pray today that you would use even the pain of our sins, oh God, to drive us to the foot of the cross, that we might find comfort through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if anyone may not know Christ, that today they would trust him as Lord and Savior. May we all leave this place, oh Father, Lord, being reflections, being distributors, conduits of your grace, mercy, and comfort. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's magnify the Lord. Can you praise him?